And you know, and that's just one instance of the ugly part of the Christmas season. You know, and it begins on that, kind of on that day. And you know, I facetiously talk about Black and Blue Friday, and I mean that not just because of that physically, but I mean financially, it's a Black and Blue Friday many times for people. And so if you've been around New Hope for very long at all, and you know that this time of year, you're going to hear what you're about to hear sometime. You just don't know which week it's going to come. Well, today's the day that I try to implore you. I try to help you find a way to make Christmas stress-free and not burden yourselves financially and not make emotional decisions about spending and about you know, and about feeling pressured to get together with different people. And you've got work pulling at you, and you've got family pulling at you, and you've got, if you're married, you've got his family and her family and grandparents. You know, I want to encourage you to not add stress to your children or your grandchildren, and you know, and vice versa, and all of that. And I had a thought this week about what I wanted to share with you. I've talked about, you know, many things, but this is the day when I try to just encourage you not to sabotage yourself for Christmas. It seems like so often we spend so much time in preparation in trying to get ready for Christmas, that there is no Christmas season. There's this stressful season, and then you have Christmas Day. And then it's over. And you're left mostly with what was sown during the stressful time. I'm going to be very pointed today. I'm going to be very plain today. And it's just going to be, you know, and so please take it for what it is. Please know that I love you. I'm not against gift giving, for example. I'm just against pressured gift giving. I'm against, you know, having to feel pressure to be a certain place and do all of these things. You know, there are some of you, you can't even come to a Christmas Eve service and sit and think about your Savior's birth, because you've got pressure coming from family that says, no, this is what we do, and you know, this is where we want you to be, and different things like that. And boy, I just hate that. But it's kind of the gift-giving thing that I want to deal with today. Last year, I think I talked to you about a $100 Christmas. And I think there were several of you did that. And I appreciate so much the testimonies that came back to me. They said, Pastor, you have no idea how nice that was to just tell our families, this is what we're spending, because we don't feel like it's financially, you know, responsible for us to spend a bunch of money. We're going to spend $100 total on all these families. And it allowed you to prioritize. And I'm thrilled about that. So I've talked about that. I encourage the whole stay away from Black Friday. You know, don't do this, you know, Black and Blue Friday thing. Don't feel like you've got to go spend all that. I've talked before about making only homemade gifts. You know, give people homemade gifts and you know, something of yourself, the time that you give to them. I spoke about the, you know, I think a couple of years ago about don't give a gift to anybody that you can't explain to them why. I don't know how many of you remember that. But if you can't tell a person, I'm giving you this gift because this is what our relationship is about, or this is what it, then there's no reason to give a gift to somebody like that. If you can't tell why you chose that for that person, don't give them anything. Don't get involved. Don't do this in-cap spending where you go to QVC or you go to Walmart and you buy 12, you know, Rudolph socks to give to your nieces and nephews that don't care, you know, and all of that. And so I guess I'm just, you know, I just want to encourage you today. I guess when I say encourage, I guess what I really want to do is I want to give you a reason why it's okay for you to say no to all that. It's okay. Hey, parents, it is actually okay for you to not buy Christmas gifts for your children. You're not liking that at all, Victoria, are you? You've already spent $1,000, haven't you? No, I'm just kidding. Look, I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm telling you it's okay not to. I'm telling you it's okay to not be a part of what's going on at work. It's okay for you to not be a part of a gift exchange somewhere, or to be a part of feeling like you have to get... Look, I've said this many, many times, and I mean this. I used to work for somebody who basically pressured his church members to give him gifts, and he bragged to his friends about how it was bonus time at Christmas time. Because it's expected to give a pastor a gift. Look, and I've already told you, don't give me, please don't give me anything. And I mean that. I seriously mean that. Don't give me a gift. Because anything I want that I don't have, you can't afford. Look, I'm being dead serious. I have everything I need. I do. I have everything I need. There's nothing that I need. And honestly, I don't have any wants. I really don't have anything that like that. And so you know, don't feel obligated to do all that. So where is it then? Okay, here's the question. Here's what I want to talk to you about. But it's hard, isn't it? Like, we're just talking today. It's hard, isn't it? You know what? We're just going to talk, so I'm going to bring out a chair. Why is this so hard? Why is it so hard, Victoria, for me to talk about not buying Chloe gifts? By the way, Chloe was the first one to run to me and just melted my heart downstairs, and it made me so happy. But why is it so hard? Why is it so hard for grandparents? AJ, is it hard to think about not buying your grandbabies a gift? I know you do. And you can't imagine not, can you? Joyce, would you please get out of the way? I'm trying to talk to AJ. It's hard, but why is it? Here's my question. Why is it hard? Now, Alan, why is it hard? You got like 18 kids, right? Does the TV show start next week? Because I think that other family all... It's hard. Why is it so hard to think about not buying stuff, not giving gifts? Why is it hard? Here's the thing. Now, you could give me some reasons, and they're probably right, and I'm wrong, and I get that, and you're smarter than I am, and I know all that. But here's the thing. Here's what I believe. There's only one reason why it's so hard to not go and shop and do all this stuff that we saw in that video, this pressure, this stress to go buy this. I got to find a gift for this person. I got this lit. You got these lists, right? And you're trying to figure out a budget. You're trying to figure out how much am I going to say. Why is it so hard not to? Here's the reason. Here's the only reason that I can think of. And if I'm wrong, you tell me later. Don't tell me now. Here's the only reason. It's because it's expected. It's expected. Because we live in a world and a society that has made it expected. You're expected to buy your kids. If you don't buy your kids Christmas, if you don't give your kids, here's what we say, if you don't give your kids a good Christmas. You ever heard somebody say that? I want to give my kids a good Christmas. Okay. But what they're saying is, I want to spend a bunch of money. I want to give my kids everything they want. I want to give my kids all the things that I never got. Why is it so hard? Why do couples, look, I'm talking about couples. Why do husbands feel the pressure to find the right gift for their wife? Because it's expected. Because we have created something called a tradition. Right? Are you with me? Again, I'm not telling you not to buy gifts. Please don't mistake me. But what I am going to tell you today is you're probably doing it for the wrong reason. Because that's what we all do. So here's the thing. So where did this... Who put that there? So where did this tradition come from? When did it start? Well, it actually comes from Scripture. And so we're going to take a look at this. So here's the Scripture that it's about three... Well, it may be three. We know there are three gifts that wise men or kings from the East brought to Jesus at some point before he was 2 years old. Somewhere in there, we don't really know how long it took them to get there and all that. But here's the Scripture, Matthew chapter number 2. And we read this many times at Christmas time. So these kings are coming, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child, that's Jesus, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. Notice, they presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, that is the passage that we have all been taught. This is where our tradition comes from. The reason we give gifts. In fact, if you ask the average Christian, Ken, why do we give gifts at Christmas time. This is what we've all been taught. We've all been taught this, that we give gifts to one another to remember Jesus was given gifts by the kings, right? And so it became a tradition. It's not just in America, it's all over the world. Boy, I love hearing the kids down there having fun. Look, please don't be distracted, but I know some of you that bothers you, but I love hearing the kids down there. You know why? Because that means there's hope for the future. These kids are down there finding that it's fun to be in church. It's fun to hear about Jesus. I love that. And we're going to continue to do that. But we give gifts to one another. This is what we've been taught. This is our tradition right here. This is where we say the tradition got started. We give gifts to one another to remember that Jesus was given gifts by the kings. And so the reason that you husbands feel the pressure or you feel like you have to give your wife a gift is because of right here. Because this is how we remember we remember the time when the kings gave gifts to Jesus. That's where the tradition started. You parents, this is why you give gifts to your children. Children, this is why you give gifts to your parents, and so forth and so on, and you get the idea. Now, here is what I have to say about that tradition coming from this verse. Right there. Baloney. Now, there were some emojis I could have used, but I thought they might be offensive for Sunday morning church. Right? Some of you are thinking that. You're thinking, I can come up with a whole lot better things than that. Yeah, it's baloney. Now, why? Why should this not be the reason that we struggle with stressing over gifts? Let me give you the reasons for about that. Remember the text about the kings coming to Jesus. So let me give you three reasons why I believe that's baloney and that should not be the reason that we give gifts. Number one, you're not a king. You're a peasant. Right? Do we have any kings in the room? I didn't think so. King, Sydney. King in your world, maybe. Yeah, you're not a king, you're a peasant. We're not king. These kings opened up their treasure. Did you hear that in the verse? Any of you have a bucket full of treasure to give gifts? No, you're not a king, you're a peasant. Number two, you're not giving it to Jesus. Look, but this is why we give gifts, because it's tradition, because these kings gave gifts to Jesus. Well, first of all, you're not a king. You're a peasant. And secondly, you're not giving it to Jesus. You're giving it to your ungrateful grandkid. No offense, AJ. Please understand, I'm being facetious about that. I know, but all I'm saying is it's not the same thing, is it? You see, this tradition got started, I think, the same way that all Hallmark traditions get started. You know, Hallmark holidays, National Donut Day, you know, National Dog Day, National whatever. I mean, there's all these, every day is a holiday. And Hallmark makes a card for every one of them because it's all about that. But you're not a king, you're a peasant. You're not giving it to Jesus. And thirdly, the third reason why this is not the reason we should be giving, because it's not a biblical precedent, is because no one thinks of Jesus when giving or receiving a gift. When was the last time you gave an Xbox or a PlayStation to a teenager and they said, "Thank you, Jesus"? That ever happen? See, nobody thinks of Jesus when giving or receiving gifts. Look, and that includes me. You know, if somebody walks up and hands me another Christmas coffee mug filled with candy canes or something like that, I don't think of Jesus. And you don't think of Jesus giving it to me, do you? And it doesn't make any difference how much you spend. In fact, probably the more we spend, the less we would think about Jesus. So my point, again, I'm not a Scrooge, and I'm not against gift giving. My point is, the reason that we say we give gifts, the whole tradition, the whole concept of giving gifts to each other, spending our money on gifts and giving them to each other, that is not a picture of what took place in Scripture at all. And yet, that is where our tradition came from. Are you with me? I mean, I'm not saying you agree with me, but I'm saying, do you get the point I'm trying to make here? Think about how stress-free Christmas would be if the concept of giving gifts had never gotten started. Think about that. Think about if you were looking forward to Christmas season without the concept of gift giving. Think about how stress-free your life would be for the next month or so. Now, you know, in fact, you know, when do you think that anybody in that video we watched was thinking about Jesus? When they were going in to try to get whatever it was that was so important for them to trample older folks and women and kids and anybody who's in front of them, I don't think they were thinking about Jesus at all. Probably his name got spoken a few times, but I don't think it was in praise or worship. Now, you know, and further, there's not even one mention of gift of giving gifts to a person in Scripture by any of the early believers. So this is something obviously that is a tradition of our day. Now, let's take a look at this list again. I'm gonna do something a little bit different now. I'm gonna add this concept of these gifts that the wise men or the kings brought back in. I'm gonna add them to them. So let's look at this list again. So number one, the first gift they gave was gold. And remember I said, you're not a king, you're a peasant. So what was the significance of gold? Well, gold is a gift that one king gives another king. If you look through Scripture, kings would often send gold to other kings. Sometimes it was forced, but many times it was a gift. When they would come to Solomon, for example, and try to get his wisdom, they would bring an offering or a gift to him of gold. So gold was a gift that one king would give to another king. But you're not a king, you're a peasant. What do you call it when a peasant gives gold to a king? You call that taxes. That's called taxes. So, you know, so when you go to Walmart, like I talked about earlier, and you buy those 12, you know, ugly pairs of socks to give to all your nephews, who really gets something of value? The state of Ohio does, in the taxes that they get. You know, nobody else cares anything about it. You see, we're looking at this thing and we're taking our resources, we're taking what precious resources we have. And oftentimes people will do this, and please, and I don't mean to be mean at all. But there are some of you, you feel pressured to give like a king at Christmas time. Right? You feel as much pressure as if you were going to a king to give them a gift. You know, if you don't spend this much money, if you don't buy something this night, if you don't buy something better than what you bought last year. Now, this is hitting home. I can see that. This is not what Christmas is supposed to be about, folks. It is not supposed to be about pressure. And the concept of gift giving was brought into Christmas, and it's taken so much away from what Christmas is really all about. And yet we say, well, we do it because we're remembering Jesus. No, we're not. You're not a king. You're a peasant. Number two, the second gift, you know, that the second gift that was given was frankincense. Let me give you number two. Number two, frankincense. You're not giving it to Jesus. Now look, this is kind of the big one here. And again, please don't take this the wrong way. If you say, well, Pastor, you know, it's none of your business. You're right. It is none of my business what you do. But it is my business to try to teach God's people. It is my business to try to encourage you not to sabotage yourself. And it's also my job to remind you of what Christmas is really all about. Amen. And if we're going to make gift giving a part of Christmas, then why are we doing it without him? You see, frankincense was actually something that was, if you look at Leviticus chapter 5, I believe it is, you can read the, it's a long passage. I'm not going to put it up there. Besides, Leviticus is a really hard book to read. Some of you didn't even know it was in the Bible, did you? That's what I thought. It's all the laws. It's all the laws given to the Levites. That's why it's named that. And one of the laws that God said was this thing of frankincense was a very special spice, a very special incense that was only to be used for worship, and it was only to be offered to God. Please get that. It's really important. It was something that if you offered frankincense as an offering to anyone else or as a gift to anyone else, that was considered to be an abomination because it was that special. It was only to be given to God and Him alone. Now, if we're going to give gifts, if we're going to give things to people, you know, shouldn't we be giving something to Jesus first? Maybe only. You know, I'm not telling you what to do, I'm just telling you that's what the symbolism of that story that we base our tradition on, that story that you and I feel so much pressure about, that story that has created this tradition of giving gifts that we feel so much pressure that if I don't give the right thing, I'm afraid I'm going to go to this. Look, we go to people's houses and we're afraid when we get there, they're going to have a gift for us. So we have to keep one in the car just in case. Right? And when they give it to us, it's like, oh, I left yours in the car. And we know we're lying to each other. Right? You give somebody a gift and they say, oh yeah, I've got yours at home. Liar. But we feel pressure. You know, when we wouldn't feel nearly as much pressure if we said, you know what? This isn't supposed to be about giving gifts to each other. It's supposed to be about giving gifts to Jesus anyway. Thank you, Linda. You see, frankincense is symbolic of worship, and it's only to be given to Jesus. And so why is it that we use Christmas gift giving as a symbol of giving to Him instead of just actually giving to Him? Wow. I thought that was a really good point. Guess not. Or it was a really good point. Not sure which. Look, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. We say that our tradition is, I'm going to give my kids gifts to symbolize giving to Jesus, but I don't do anything for Him. And please understand, you say, well, this sounds like you're asking us to give all of our money to the church. I'm actually not. I'm just saying that this whole concept of giving gifts, this whole tradition, it's not biblical anyway. You don't have to do it. But we're leaving out the one person who is supposed to be the one given the gifts at Christmas time. According to the story, right? According to Scripture. So frankincense is only for worship, only to be given to Him. Do you know the average person spends $1,000? The average adult, I saw it this week, the average adult is expected to spend $1,000 on gifts this year at Christmas time. Can you imagine that? No. Now look, the average adult income they're basing that off of is $78,000. Watch. So if you make $39,000, which is half of 78, which is probably much more likely in this room, and maybe even scaled down, that means $500 is what you're. So if you give more than 500, you're giving more than the average. Did that make sense? Do the math. We spend, the average adult is going to spend $1,000 on Christmas because they feel like they have to. They feel pressured. They feel pressured by comparison. Well, I have to do this for my kids because their parents are going to, his friends' parents are going to do it for them. My grandkids are going to expect, why do your grandkids expect a gift? Because it's just always been that way, right? I'm just asking, should it be that way? Should it be that way? It's not biblical, and yet, our Christians feel obligated to that. You know, the other thing is nothing on this earth lasts. Think about the gifts that you've gotten. You know what we really ought to do in our families? We ought to buy something and that I can give to my wife and then she can give it to me next year. Just give it back. And then next year I'll just give it back to her. Something we just use all year long and we just give it back and forth. That'll save you some money. But why do we... You know, nothing lasts. Most of the things we give don't last. Here, let me ask you a question nobody ever asks in this story. Jesus was given gold, frankincense, and myrrh as a toddler. What happened to that gold? Anybody know? Wait a minute. Because I read when he started his earthly ministry, he said, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. He was homeless. What happened to His gold? Look, the Bible doesn't tell us, does it? You know, maybe Joseph was a gambler. I don't know. I don't know. I just know that he didn't have it. There was no trust fund. Even in Jesus' life, the gold didn't last. And I believe that's why Jesus then said to his disciples, from personal experience, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths come in and eat it up, or where rust comes in and causes it to deteriorate. He said, instead, lay up for yourselves treasures where? How do you lay up for treasures in heaven? By giving to others, giving to him, giving to his work, giving to his priorities, the things that he said are going to make a difference, giving so that the gospel can get out to the world. That's the treasure that goes on to heaven. That's the treasure that goes on to heaven. There's not a child living in America that needs another doll. It was a great time for you to come back into that. It was not intentional. Look, there's not. There's not. How many dolls Brittany have growing up? And you were poor. Quite a few. Where are they now? Goodwill? Don't peep? Yeah. See, again, I gotta move on. I just want you to understand there's nothing biblical about giving gifts. So you should not feel pressured to do it. And I don't care who we're talking about. Spouses ought to agree. You know what? That's right. Look, my wife and I don't give each other very many gifts, if at all. And that doesn't bother either one of us. Because again, and like I said, when it gets right down to it, there's really nothing that either one of us need that we can afford. We certainly don't need anything from Walmart or QVC or whatever. So give yourselves a break. Take some stress out of your life if that's where it is. All right, lastly, let me wrap this up. The third gift was what? We have gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh is actually a burial spice. Myrrh was something that was used to anoint dead bodies because dead bodies stink. There's no other way to say it. So they anointed them with myrrh to cover up that oath. Because in the Bible days, and this is something I'm going to teach next year when we talk about the whole year after a person died in the Bible days, there was a very special thing that they did. I can't wait to share it with you and show you some pictures of some of the places where they did this. But they had to anoint those bodies. And so that's what that was for. These kings, when they brought myrrh to Jesus, they brought myrrh to Jesus because they knew he was going to give himself. They knew they had been given some insight by God that he was going to give himself. And his, but can I just say this? And I'm just going to say this. I'm going to move on. No one thinks of Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross is the last thing from anybody's mind when they're given a gift. Right? We don't think of Jesus dying on the cross. So let's stop saying that we give gifts because the wise men gave them to Jesus. Let's stop saying that we give gifts or we have to give gifts because it's a tradition born out of Scripture, because it's not. It's not. You know, consider this. Would you consider saying no to pressure? See, I'm no Scrooge. I love Christmas. I love Christmas music. I love being with people. I love Santa Claus. I love fun. Look, I'm not even opposed to Santa Claus and all that stuff. I'm not opposed to gift giving. But what I am saying is, I hate the pressure that some of you feel. I hate the pressure that some of you, and it seems to oftentimes fall on the women in the family, the moms usually, right? You got enough pressure. Look, you got enough pressure. Just think about it. You got these lists of gifts that you have to buy. And then you've got you're trying to figure out which family you're going to go to and when you're going to do it and how you're going to schedule it. And you got this concert and your kids got this and got that. You got all these pressures at Christmas time. Doesn't that kind of ruin it? Or doesn't it try to ruin it? couldn't we take the stress out of it if we at least eliminate the whole gift thing? We could look, I'm proposing a radical idea. How about if you just tell your family, you know what? This whole concept of giving gifts at Christmas time, there's nothing wrong with it, but there's also nothing wrong with not doing it. Could you consider saying no to Black and Blue Friday and to Psycho Cyber Monday? Don't even go to Amazon on Monday. Don't even do it. Just don't even get on there. Because you'll see the most amazing deals. I'd be a fool not to do this. No, you'll be a fool to do it. You'll be a fool to do it. But it's half off. It still costs half of what it was, you idiot. Right? And it's still money you don't have. And you're going to give it to an ungrateful person, probably. Can I just ask you a question? And when I say, I don't mean to with broad strokes do that, because there are some very, very grateful young people, some very, very grateful old people, and so forth. But let me just ask you this. Who do you think would appreciate it more? Your nephew or Jesus? Here's a big one. Who do you think needs it more? Say, well, my kids need it more. Of course, my kids need, Jesus has everything. Actually, Jesus is limited to what we give on this earth. There's nothing that Jesus cannot do, but there is nothing that he will do without cooperation from you and from me. Thank you. And if I choose to use Scripture as an excuse to spend all my money, money I don't even have, buying gifts for all my family and all my friends and all my church family and all my coworkers at work, and I got to do this, got to do that, and do all this stuff, and I ignore him, then I'm not just doing something that the Bible doesn't encourage, but I'm actually doing it the opposite of the way that the Bible said it happened. So I just wanted to give you something to think about. How much more could you enjoy Christmas? This is the whole point. How much more could you enjoy Christmas if this unbiblical tradition of gift giving had never gotten started? Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if you could look forward to going to have a family get together and it was only about sharing a meal together and loving each other and encouraging each other and catching up, excuse me, and your grandkids learned to look forward to going to grandma and grandpa's house because grandma and grandpa are there, not because of a pile of gifts. Now, again, I know it's unreasonable to ask grandparents not to buy gifts for the grandkids. I get that. Please understand, I get that. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be an amazing thing if that had never gotten started? How much less stress would there be within our families? Do you know there are actually adult children who will not speak to each other because of a disparity in gift giving in the past? You'd be surprised how often that happens. Jennifer and Kathy won't even sit together. You see that. Jocelyn has to sit between them. Because we all know that Roy loves one of them so much more than the other. Okay. Yeah, I'm done. Maybe it's time to stop that. Hey, maybe it's time to put our money where our mouth is. Watch. It's time to put our money where our mouth is. Can I ask you, what is the reason for the season? Put your money where your mouth is. What was that, Randy? That was a good one, wasn't it? That was a good one. Billy, is that good? That was good. Seriously, let's take some stress. Do what you want. Do what you want. Do what works for you. But I just want, as your pastor, for whatever influence I have over you, I just want to tell you it is okay. It is okay for you not to give one single gift at Christmas time. It is okay. Some of you are giving me a look like, oh, it's the jersey, isn't it? Oh, you hate the jersey. I thought you were mad at me. I feel so much better now. I love you with all my heart. I really do. You are my church. And I feel responsible for you. I want you to be happy. And I want you to enjoy Christmas. And I want you to enjoy your families. But I want you to enjoy your families for who they are. I want you to enjoy the people here for who we are. We talked Wednesday night before the service. Harold and I were talking, and Joyce and a few others were here. And we were just talking about how wonderful it is to have a family here. We don't expect anything from each other. Just love. Just love. And it ought to be that way everywhere you go this year at Christmas. So my suggestion is you contact your families and you tell your coworkers and you tell your neighbors and anybody else who you feel pressured by, you know what? We're done with this tradition that just hurts most of us. All in the name of Scripture. Because it's not right. And instead, let's take care of Jesus. Our Father, we